Good afternoon. This is Chris Corum, executive editor of Regarding ID Magazine, and you're listening to the Regarding ID podcast. We're talking today with Kevin Gillick, the executive director of the Global Platform, and we're going to talk about the Global Platform specifications and their use in government ID projects and get a lay of the land there for how they can help government agencies and implementers of national or otherwise government identity projects. Kevin, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad to be here.
To start off, I guess if you could give us a background on Global Platform and what you're doing in the government ID space, I think it'd be great to give the listeners an idea to kind of set the groundwork for our discussions here.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity to give that background because many of your listeners may not be familiar with Global Platform, but Global Platform has been around for quite a number of years now. We started as a member-driven, not-for-profit organization back in 1999. So next year, we will be having our 10th year anniversary. We have 51 members today in Global Platform, and those members work together to develop specifications for smart card infrastructure interoperability. Now, what that means is that we're working on interoperability specifications for cards, for the card acceptance devices, and for the backroom systems that are used to personalize the cards, issue them, or manage them throughout their service life. So from the perspective of Global Platform, when we talk about interoperability, we're talking about developing specifications for interoperability that serves the interoperability between the components themselves and the interfaces to those components. Now, our specifications are pretty widely adopted today. There's over, we've tracked conservatively, just under 200 million Global Platform compliant cards in circulation. And since we're focusing on the government today, of those just under 200 million, about 52 million of those cards are actually being used in government deployments.
Wow.
Some examples are, many of them, Europe, Middle East, Asia Pacific, but Macau, Oman, Moscow, Morocco, Singapore, Qatar, Hong Kong, Italy, and here in the United States, there's a couple of programs. The General Services Administration, GSA, is deployed using Global Platform technology. The Transportation Workers Identification Credential, or TWIC, is also Global Platform. And one very recognizable Global Platform implementation is the United States Department of Defense, the DOD program, with its Common Access Card, which is now transitioning to the Personal Identity Verification Card, or the PIV card. So there's quite a bit of Global Platform strong reference base out there.
When you mentioned in the interoperability, I guess a lot of times in the smart card world, people think of interoperability as interoperability between systems. But it sounds like from your definition there that it's more than that with the Global Platform specifications. You're looking at the interoperability within a system as much as you are between systems. Is that accurate?
Yeah, interoperability can mean a lot of things, Chris. And there's, by the way, there's also application interoperability.
Mm-hmm.
When I create an application, am I able to port it from one card product or card platform to another? So interoperability really needs to be ubiquitous across the entire ecosystem of a smart card deployment. Now, what Global Platform, again, cares about is an element of interoperability that is not otherwise addressed by the rest of the industry, and that's interoperability amongst components of the ecosystem and the interfaces to those components.
Does that brings to mind the government standard that we hear a lot about being the FIPS 201 standard, and certainly there's some issues of standardization to make sure that products comply or that products work amongst each other, from the cards and the personalization and the acceptance devices there within FIPS 201. But can you maybe jumping off from there, how would the whole standards ecosystem work maybe for a government implementation from the Global Platform side, and how does that fit in with the FIPS 201 or with other pieces out there?
Chris, that's a great question, because we hear from the marketplace all the time that, yeah, we want to deploy using best practice, and we want to take into account the use of standards as they exist today. Mm-hmm. And what we hear from people a lot is we want to follow standards, but we don't know what that means. It seems that there's so many standards to choose from that we don't know what is, in fact, a standard and what is.
It almost becomes not standards when there's so many standards, right?
Exactly. But it's a little bit simpler than that. It's not quite that confusing because there's actually a logical hierarchy of standards that can be examined by the government entity. And I'm going to try and use my words to paint that hierarchy for you. At the very top of the hierarchy is what is called international standards. And if your listeners are familiar with ISO, the International Standardization Organization, ISO sets standards by involving about 157 different member nations around the world. These are member nations that get together and discuss the technology at its highest level to set standards around that to ensure that there's some governance around the development of technologies. And in the case of our conversation today, smart card technologies. Mm-hmm. So the ISO organization represents the top of this pyramid. The next layer down in the standards discussion is industry standards. And industry standards dovetail nicely into these international standards. Now, by an industry standard, I'm referring to standards that are developed by associations that are member-driven, such as Global Platform. So Global Platform's specifications for interoperability align with ISO and rest immediately underneath ISO. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, the third level in this hierarchy is the national standard, or in some cases, regional standards. But in the case of the United States, an example of national standards would be the NIST organization, the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They establish national standards that are abided by for many deployments in the United States. The last level of this hierarchy is the application standard. You mentioned that. You mentioned FIPS 201. Mm-hmm. You mentioned out of FIPS 201 comes the personal identity verification application as an example. So you've got international standards, industry standards like Global Platform, national standards like NIST, and application standards like FIPS 201. And all of these are integral and important to a modern government implementation. In fact, a good implementation does a very rigorous assessment of all four of these layers of standards to make sure that they are harmonized and well aligned.
What are the major challenges facing a government ID issuer then? They look at, they're looking to implement one of these nationwide EID systems or programs or an agency-wide program, say, but there's so many decisions to be made, both as we're talking about on the standards, but also in terms of selecting components and equipment and providers and things. How do you advise from a Global Platform standpoint that someone would begin a project like that?
Yeah, I think Chris, the biggest challenge that we see governments facing is how to go about making good choices of technology at the start of their project. That's the biggest issue they face. Because at a start of a project, it's clear that they're going about implementing an ID program because they want to standardize their ID credentialing. They want to have something in place that will help them mitigate fraud and protect their systems. And all of those other things are drivers and reasons why they do this. But inevitably, we have seen that a government ID program is not static in nature. And what happens is it's going to evolve over time. It will maybe add, very likely, additional applications over time. There's going to be a desire to expand the number of service providers involved with the government over time. And so at the very onset of the program, how does the government select technology? How do they select the card choices, the system choices, the device choices, when they don't know at the beginning all of the possible applications that they will ultimately require? nor do they necessarily know all of the potential business partners that they will be working with. So the question they have at the beginning is, if I don't know who my partners might be, if I don't know who my applications will fully be, how do I choose technology today with any degree of certainty that it will be extendable, it'll be scalable, it'll be interoperable, and cost effective? How do I know that my future decisions aren't going to render all of my decisions today unstable? And that's the biggest challenge that they face. And so our members counsel governments, and we say, look, the best thing that you can do to overcome that uncertainty is to, in fact, look to standards and make decisions that are based on these standards. And that's what got us into our earlier question, Chris, and where the confusion lies. Mm-hmm. And the biggest challenge for governments then is to understand that there is, in fact, a hierarchy of standards that can be looked at. And what governments need to do, and we've counseled them to do this, is to adopt what is already in place rather than try to recreate it. Now, simply stated, here's what I mean. There are governments around the world that, not knowing that there are standards in place, invest heavily in the creation of their own infrastructure. They use taxpayer dollars, they use their own time and resources to develop the ecosystem. We counsel these governments to say you should not do that. The ecosystem exists. It exists in standards identified by ISO. It exists in technology from Global Platform and vendors who bring product to market that abides by Global Platform. And the government is better served to worry only about its application standard. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at the United States as an example, the United States Department of Defense focuses only on the CAC card and its CAC card application requirements, or it focuses only on the PIV application. But it does not develop from scratch the infrastructure in which that application operates.
Okay.
It acquires that and obtains that from the industry, from people who have Global Platform compliant product that's in abidance with ISO specification. So they're not seeking to develop the infrastructure. They're seeking only to develop their application and have an application that operates well within a proven infrastructure. So a government really has three choices if they're going to go with a wide-scale deployment for ID that's chip-based. They can either develop it themselves from scratch. They can go to one vendor only adopt a very proprietary, vertically integrated solution. Or they can look to the industries and its standards and go with something that's more open and interoperable. And we certainly would promote the third choice.
Do you expect that, or do you see that the majority of government ID projects are now Global Platform compliant or utilizing the Global Platform specification? You had a great list of reference cases and things that are at the beginning of our conversation, but do you still see those who are going the other, or going a route of trying to reinvent the wheel, or going with another specification? Or is it, do you feel like right now the momentum is there where most recognize the importance of the Global Platform work?
Yeah, Chris, you used one word in that question, and the word you used was the majority. And I would hesitate to say that the majority are Global Platform, mm-hmm. but there's no question that the growing number is Global Platform. As we look out to the world today, we are seeing tenders that are being issued by governments and requests being made of systems integrators who are serving the governments as prime contractors, that from those communities, we are seeing more and more requests in the tenders using language that is consistent with Global Platform's internal language. So as we describe interoperability, as we describe scalability, as we describe the interfaces between components in the ecosystem, we're seeing that same language appearing in tenders around the world, and more of the vendor community coming to Global Platform asking how to respond to that tender in a way that opens up for them the possibility of securing the contract. So there is much more recognition of global platform technology within the government sector today than there was, say, 5 years ago.
Is the global platform specification set an integral part of all FIPS 201 applications, or is that still a decision that has to be made on the part of the implementer?
Chris, that's still a decision that has to be made on the part of the implementer. There's nobody from the United States government that is mandating the use of global platform technology to comply with FIPS 201. Mm-hmm. Remember, FIPS 201 is an application standard. It deals with the identity and the PIV and the rules and the functions and the features associated with the identity world. Now, that application can be brought to market a number of different ways, and you can comply with FIPS 201 with or without global platform standards in play. And so while there is no mandate, we're aware of several instances where, in fact, it is being followed. And I mentioned those earlier, that with GSA and the TWIC card and with the United States DOD. And so in terms of internal and referenceable implementations within the United States government, there are certainly best practice examples of global platform being applied. But there are other examples where it is not applied. And again, it will be up to the issuer to determine the investment that they want to make in the technology.
Okay. It sounds like, too, the importance would especially be there as you looked to bring other applications into a FIPS 201 infrastructure, whether that be by a government entity or by a private sector group that decided to follow that route. It seems like the decision to utilize the global platform specifications as well would help, particularly down the road, if you said, hey, we want to do more with this card than just what has been detailed out there as the initial set of applications for FIPS 201. Would you agree with that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, actually I would. And it gets to my earlier comment that these ID applications initially may go out the door as ID only, but over time, additional applications are added. And some of those applications, as you pointed out, may come through public sector, private sector collaboration. When you begin a program using global platform, you have an ideal platform in place to support multi-application. You also have a structure in place that provides a common framework or a common language across the public sector and the private sector. Because now if we're going to be adding applications or exporting that, we can export that platform with a known and highly specified way of implementing it that's well documented and well proven. And it makes it easier for other players to come on board and participate in the program.
Kevin, how about for the listeners who are looking for more details? I think we've done a great job, hopefully, of getting the basics out there. But for those who are looking for more on the global platform specifications and how they obtain those specifications, and as a government ID issuer potentially, or other ID issuer, how they would go about finding out when in the decision cycle they get involved with global platform and who the people are that they should be speaking with. How do they find more info on this?
The first suggestion would be to work with the vendors and to ask them about the products that they offer that abide by global platform specifications, because those products are out there. And if you want to know who some of those companies are, you can go to the global platform website and just look at the 51 members of global platform as a representative sample of some of the companies out there where you could examine the technology and know that it, as well as the technology from competitive companies, would in fact be interoperable. And that website address is www.globalplatform.org. And so that would be my first suggestion. The second suggestion would be to consider downloading from our website a white paper, which we wrote. The white paper is called The Global Platform Value Proposition for Identity Management. And this paper is intended to be an informative and educational piece, not a technical piece. But what it does is it talks about the technology, how it relates to an identity management environment, and it actually walks through the United States DOD implementation as the case study to show you how the technology itself is applied to a real-world implementation. And so that educational paper is also available for download from the website. And the third thing I would tell your listeners, because the timing is good, is next month there's an industry trade show in Orlando, Florida, Card Tech Secure Tech. And on Monday of that week, Monday the 12th of May, Global Platform is going to be hosting a one-day technical workshop that your listeners can look at online and they can register to attend. This is going to be a detailed education on the card technology and the systems technology and how that technology specifically relates to the PIV implementation here in the United States. Sure. And so for those who want a hands-on education, there's the opportunity to do that just a few weeks from now.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Kevin, and thanks for y'all for listening. We've been talking with Kevin Gillick, the Executive Director of the Global Platform, and you can learn more about the Global Platform specifications and technology online at www.globalplatform.org.